Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush on a mini little Monday. Noel, looks like you're rubbing the widow sweepy out of your eyes.
Hootie hoo.
Are you sweepy?
No, I've been up for a while. I was on a call at 9.
What time do you get up, Noel?
It depends, man. You know, I'm a bachelor.
Give me an average during the week.
9:30, 9:15, 8:45, 10, 11.
What about weekends? Do you sleep the same on the weekends? Or do you sleep?
No, I don't ever sleep extra. No, I'm incapable of sleeping past, say, 10:30, unless
Jesus Christ, I remember those days. 10:30, well, I mean, Noel, that's amazing.
10:30 is late?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't have a small child anymore. I kind of do what I want, Chuck. I'm kind of living the life of Riley, as they say. Who is Riley, by the way? Why was his life so great?
Who was Riley and why was he sleeping or she? I don't even know. Or they, yeah. For all I know.
They. Yeah. That's true.
Noel, I got an exciting little message from, you know, Rob Hubel, the actor and comedian.
Yeah. I love him.
I love him. And I follow him on Instagram. And this was like a couple of months ago. He said, "Hey, does anyone have any true ghost stories?" And I sent him a message on Instagram. I was like, I'd have a ghost story. I'm not a big ghost guy, but I do have one from my college days. Kind of gave him the run through and he was like, "Okay, thanks." And that was it. And I was like, "Oh, well, that was weird." Mm-hmm. And then just this morning I woke up and Rob Hubel is doing some, not TikTok. What is it?
Instagram stream or something like that? Like a live thing?
Twitch.
Hmm.
He's doing ghost stories on Twitch. And he wants me to come on and tell my ghost story.
Well, that's great.
Sure. So hopefully I'm going to make a little connection here and be like, "All right, buddy, now you got to come on Movie Crush."
Totally. That's so funny. Twitch is usually for gamers.
Right.
But I guess people are using it for whatever these days.
Well, frequent guest Ben Harrison, he said, "Hey, do you want to play Dead Red Redemption on Twitch tonight?" And I was like, "What is that?" And he kind of explained it to me that basically people will pay to just sit in and watch two people play a game and talk about it.
I don't know if you have to pay. It's like ad supported, I thought, but it's like my kid's really into it. Like the new YouTubers are Twitch streamers. And there's this whole like, you know, kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like click of like these different Twitch streamers. Like one of the most popular ones is this dude named Wilbur Soot, who is this British kid who like Twitch streams, but he also does like music and makes these kind of parody songs about Minecraft and being a nerd.
But so I think maybe they don't pay, but you make money based on how many people are watching. Is that
100%.
What it is?
Okay. Yeah, it's like YouTube rules, but it's all live. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was weird, and he explained that to me, and I was like, "You mean that you and I can play Dead Red Redemption, and somebody will send us a check?"
Long as you banter. Got to be good banter, Chuck. Got to keep him on the hook.
I didn't do it, by the way.
Ah, Chuck, you should have done it.
Oh, I don't know, man. That just feels weird.
I love hearing you talk about playing that game. I would enjoy watching you play in real time and getting enraged when someone continues to knife you. You know, wasn't there someone who was trolling you at one point and kept coming after you?
People are pretty terrible on that game. I haven't played that in forever, but I don't know. I feel like I'd be afraid of what I would say in the moment.
That's a good point, Chuck. You are used to having a bit of a line of editorial control. Speaking of which, I heard you and Josh hung out in real life.
Oh, we did. We got to record yesterday in person. We, you know, there was an impetus behind it, which was recording our 3D episode.
Oh, right.
Which, by the way, have you seen those fucking microphones with the ears?
Yeah, we're doing ours today, actually.
Have you seen those things? They're creepy.
They are weird looking, yeah.
For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we're trying to do more 3D content on the network. 3D audio is basically this situation where when you wear your headphones or your earbuds, it sort of puts you in the space with the people. Mm-hmm. And even a show like ours where we're not gussying it up with sound design or anything, it sounds different and, you know, to some people probably a little more interesting. It is a stunt, but hey, we got on board. We're not going to change our show to that format, but we did it. And they have these microphones, everyone, that have two sides to them, and there are what look like real human ears on each side of these mm-hmm. microphones, and it's mm-hmm. creepy as fuck.
Yeah, there's another set of them you can get that are like in headphone form, where they actually record what you're hearing through the headphones. I think Sennheiser makes them. So you can literally put them on their normal headphones, and then you flip a switch, and then all of a sudden it's like you're hearing through the headphones the environment that you're walking through.
Weird.
So it's super, super trippy.
Hmm. Is it spoopy?
It's spoopy and psychedelic, Chuck. I did a thing yesterday that shouldn't be weird, but it felt weird, but then it also felt great.
What'd you do?
I went and saw a movie in the theater.
Whoa, what movie?
It's called Demon Slayer. It's an anime thing.
Okay.
My kid's really into it, and a buddy of mine is also into it, and none of his friends were nerdy enough to go with him, so I had an excuse. It was great. It was...
I bet.
It was so fun. It was it was a new theater, brand new theater over in Grant Park, AMC, I believe. And they have the
you
nice
mean the one on Memorial.
I guess it's not that new, but it opened right before the pandemic, so it felt like it was had not really been broken in yet. Let's just say.
Is it the one over there by Homegrown?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just so fun. It was nice.
That's great.
Did the whole ritual of going to the grocery store beforehand and buying illicit snacks and smuggling them in my puffy jacket.
Illicit and, snacks. They sold dildo shaped pretzels.
Totally. Yeah. Lots of drugged snacks and dildo shaped.
I can't
infections.
Wait, man. That's great. My Emily took Ruby to a. One of her little best friends is 13, one of our family friends.
Nice.
And she wanted to rent out a movie theater for her birthday. And she and her 11 friends and Ruby and then a few of the parents went. I was not able to go because I had to do something else. But they had a great time. And the great thing about renting the theater, Noel, these girls had a little dance party down there during the movie.
In the aisles. Dancing in the aisles, literally.
They can't say, do that.
Love it. That's always my dream, Chuck, is to go to a movie where there's nobody else in there, but it always gets ruined by like one person.
Oh, have you never had the solo show?
I have long ago once, but it happened recently. And then it was ruined by the end of the credits. Some jerkwad came in.
That's creepier when it's mm-hmm, two people. That's a little mm-hmm. weird.
It is a little weird. And one thing that was kind of weird about the situation at the movie, I assumed it was reserved seating, that they would, have taken into account social distancing and not, booked separate parties in directly, connected seats. And this big family came in and sat down right next to us. And we kind of were like, whoa. And we moved over, but it was like, I don't know if they were sitting not in their assigned seats or if the system was screwed up. But I thought it was a little odd.
That's
weird. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to limit the seating, just block off
at least two seats in between parties, I would say.
Totally.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh. Very interesting. But to put the button on stuff you should know, Jerry was in the room with Josh and I for the first time in like 14 months.
Total reunion.
It was great in every way. We were... It's just the way it should be. And, we've been recording, we recorded remotely some before the pandemic hit even. So we were used to it, but we really, I think, took for granted being together, and now we don't.
I saw you had some shrimp and white wine. It sounded like a real soiree.
We had some, Jerry brought champagne. I had a little champagne glass.
Oh.
And Jerry bought shrimp because that's an old running joke.
Okay.
But it was frozen, so we didn't get to eat the shrimp. But we're going back in Thursday to record another one, and hopefully the shrimp will be thawed.
I hope so. I hope it's had enough time. Well, that's exciting, Chuck. Glad to hear it.
A big shout out to Sammy Cahill. I got back to, it's the first time I've been in the office in quite a while, actually. And there was a 50th birthday gift waiting for me from the lovely and charming and winsome Sammy. And it was popcorn toppers, like gourmet popcorn kit.
Seasoned salts?
Very nice. Very cool.
I love a good seasoned salt on some popcorn. I'm going to the office today, Chuck. Maybe I'll have a present waiting for me. Who knows?
I took a dump on your desk. Does that count?
You're always terrorizing my desk when I'm not around, Chuck. What's with you,
man? Oh, I love those headless parrot squeezies are still over there. It's so funny when I see those. I
know. You did such a good job of playing it straight.
Oh, I can never,
you know, yeah. I mean, you really had a great poker face. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
I don't know if there was anything on your desk, but I did walk around. That's the beauty. I mean, no one was still in there. I kind of thought there might be some people going back a little bit, but it was just Jerry and I, and Jerry and myself, and then Josh came in, and then Alex and Lowell came in to help engineer the 3D episode. Mm. So I got to see those guys very briefly too.
Nice. Yeah, we're doing like a space kind of episode, like a reenactment of some kind of like space thing.
So you're going to fancy yours up then, of course.
We are. We're doing a little bit of sound design. It's just going to be like a segment, though, like not like a full episode.
I hear you.
And then we're also doing Ridiculous History in 3D, and we're doing that like about a race car event with like crashes and stuff. So we're going to be like narrating it and kind of like going like, making all the noises with our mouths.
That's cool. You know, they wanted us to do something like that. And I just, you know, we just said no. I mean, as much as we wanted to play ball, I'm like, listen, we do that for Halloween. We do that for Christmas. And it felt too stunty for us. So we're just keeping it real, you know?
No. Hey, it's cool, man. It's Josh and Chuck, the podcast experience, the ride.
Yeah, there's another thing I'll talk to you offline about, something else we're saying no to. We say no too much, Noel.
You know, Chuck, you got to set your boundaries, man. Got to understand
those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll run roughshod all over you.
Really quickly on the gaming front, I finished Ghost of Tsushima. It kind of ended, I don't think I knew what was at the end. Does that ever happen to you where all of a sudden you find yourself in the last scene and you're like, oh shit, I didn't know this was it?
Yeah, that usually means that there was some flaw in the storytelling, though. You're supposed to kind of have a sense that you're heading toward the big thing, right?
No, I think it was a flaw in my attention paying.
Got it.
I'm sure they did a great job, but it was a fun game. It's funny, though. You love these games, and at the end, for me, I'm kind of done. Very few do I want to keep playing. Like, I guess I did with the original Last of Us. And maybe a little bit on Dead Red, but otherwise I've exhausted it, so I'm ready to move on.
I gotta say, I still haven't returned to Last of Us 2 because I got to a really hard part. I do this sometimes where I'll just like beat my head against the wall playing it over and over again, and I get frustrated. I'm gonna come back to it, but I've been distracted by Switch games because they're so fun and replayable. But I encountered a new type of zombie. That's the one that like shoots out stink bombs or whatever. That's like a gas zombie or whatever.
Yeah, I think I remember that. That was
and
tough.
I encountered it in a time where I was very, very, very low on ammo. There's nothing around. So
that sucks.
I don't know what to do. I think I might have to go to a previous save point and like collect more ammo knowing that that's coming. But I want to go back. Yeah. The problem with that game, though, is that when you die, it's so brutal that it's like, I don't want to keep doing this to myself. Like, this is a lot. It's a lot.
I know, especially when your characters are, you know, I don't know. They're people you connect
children?
With.
Children? Exactly.
Young girl. It's like, geez, I don't want to see that. It's brutal. Yep. All right, Noel. You got anything else on the catch-up front?
Not really. Just really excited to be going back to the movies. I'm also going to Seattle on Friday with my kid. You want me some Rex.
Great.
Yeah, it's Friday.
You got
a lot of lovely movie crushers reaching out with the suggestions. And not one of them has talked about how it's a lawless town of roving bands of
don't go
brigands.
Downtown.
Dude, my mom, man, and her Fox News, she's like, please don't go. Please. It's scary there. Like, all the libs roaming the streets with their Molotov cocktails. Anyway, enough about that. But yeah, very excited. And lots of crushers have reached out with some great wrecks.
You got your docket planned?
We're playing it pretty loose. Like I said, we're going to the MoPop to see this Minecraft exhibit, and it's apparently a really dope museum in and of itself.
You're going
to
love MoPop, Noel.
I'm really excited. We're going to go to this place called Pipeworks Park,
okay,
or Gasworks Park, maybe. It's like a old, some kind of factory or an industrial area that was made into a park, and you can climb around on all these crazy, you know, pipes and like, you know, towers and things.
Cool.
And then there's a glass artist who's very well known, and I'm forgetting the name now.
Oh, yeah, the not Cthulhu.
Kalui, something like that.
Yeah, the garden.
Cthulhu.
It's great. It's a really, really lovely place to go. Get your camera ready because it's just like feast for the eyes.
Those are our three agenda items. And then, well, obviously, we were going to go to the market and all the, you know, the downtowny stuff. And we're staying right in that zone. But yeah, I got a couple of folks I might try to connect up with. And a buddy of mine who lives in Portland might come down for a day and hang out too. So,
all right. Well, I'm trying to think. My friend Adam Pranica moved from Seattle, but I still have
the Gooch.
Roderick
the Gooch
and
reached out. Yeah, the Gooch reached out as well.
Oh, is the Gooch in Seattle?
The Gooch is in Seattle. He works.
Are you going to see Gooch?
I don't know. It's possible. He invited me to his place of business, which is a 21 and up place. So I've got the kid, but my girlfriend's coming too. So it may be that I can sneak off and pop in for a pint.
Oh, that's cool.
Something else.
You're like, he invited me to a place of work. It's an accounting firm, and I don't think I'm going to go.
A 21 and up accounting firm. Very risque.
The sexiest kind.
Indeed.
All right, Noel. I guess if that's all the ketchup we have,
that's
we can move right on along.
Oh yeah.
To our lone real segment, because we're going to do a little stream this, so go ahead and get your brain pumped for that.
It's in there.
But this is a fun one. This is from Michael Fleming on the Crushers page. And you often see a lot of, like, change a word in this movie title and make it a different movie title.
Mm-hmm.
This is change a letter, one letter, Noel.
Which, that's going to require a little more brain work.
More brain work, and he started with, for some reason, it just makes me laugh, Marty Poppins.
That's funny. That's funny.
I don't know why that's so funny. I picture this guy. Hey, how you doing? Marty Poppins. Good to meet you. I hate children.
I got one. It's going to be a movie about donuts, and it's called Glazing Saddles.
Okay. All right, so let's see what everyone came up with here. Liz Ann says Star Wars. Get it?
So you can also add a letter.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
got it.
That seems
got it,
to be the rules of the game.
I like it. I like it.
Cody Reed says Flight Club.
Mm-hmm.
Different
that's
experience.
Actually the name of a shoe store, really, like a sneakerhead store in Los Angeles called Flight Club. Yep, where you get your Jordans and they have like them wrapped in plastic, like all the previous, you know, special editions and stuff for quite a lot of money.
Oh, sure, it's sneakerheads. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
They line up for that shit, Noel.
Oh, they line up for it. And now, apparently, bots are becoming a big problem, like they are with concert tickets, where the bots buying sneakers, buy up all the sneakers, and then they're like traded like commodities, basically. It's a whole thing.
Oh, Revenge of the Sneaker Bots. That sounds like a Public Enemy song.
It sure does.
Man, I tried to get Chuck D on the show a couple of times a while ago, and it just didn't work out, Noel.
Ah,
he was busy, and I was like, oh, can you just give me an hour?
He's a busy man.
He's a hero. Amanda Patterson says, Shaving Private Ryan. Hey, now.
Shaving Ryan's privates, more like it.
old friend Yvonne Baudet says, Poopie.
Cute.
That's not good, because then you get, what do you get? What's the sickness?
It is pink eye.
Pink eye from Poopie, right?
Yeah, but Popeye is also, it's funny because Popeye's already got one eye that's kind of like squinted shut.
Mm-hmm.
So Popeye, I assume, would be completely blind.
He'd be in big trouble, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Christine Davis Baker says, Goodwill Haunting.
Love that.
Liz Ann is back. Liz has got a lot of good ones. Old pal Liz says, Pacific Trim.
Is that like Trim, like is this a haircut movie, perhaps?
I don't know. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Let me see here. MD Charnley says Citizen Kale. I bet you that's a fucking place in Brooklyn.
Yeah, totally.
If that's not a kale restaurant in Brooklyn, then somebody's missing out.
Yeah, or a smoothie joint. Like they have a Kale Me Crazy here.
Right. What do you think of those pun names for the businesses, Noel? You like that?
Like Walk and Roll? How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Whatever.
It's cute. It
sticks in your brain. That's the whole idea, I think.
It does. I don't know. Kale Me Crazy, but it sticks in your brain.
It does.
well, this person didn't understand this exercise at all. But that's okay. We'll just skip over that one.
Love it.
Christopher Steiner says, moral combat. That's pretty good.
Chuck, hot take real quick. I saw that you quite enjoyed that. I felt the same way as you. It felt like blood sport.
Okay. Save it for stream this, Noel.
All right.
Put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
Putting a pin in it.
Lee Lastovica says, Mary Poopins. Okay.
A lot of poop jokes here. Some very scatologically minded crushers.
It is. Benjamin K says, Jurassic Spark. No.
I don't know what that's about. I need more. It needs a subtitle.
Christopher Steiner says, Jig Trouble in Little China. It becomes a fishing movie. Like a fishing jig.
I've never heard that used before. I thought it was a rig. Was your jig like a type of allure? Is it like a lure?
Yeah, let me see. Fishing jig. I think a jig is a jig fishing. It's a way to fish.
It's a style. It's like a style fly. Of
fishing. How to fish a jig. I bet that's a hot YouTube.
Well, now, for the record, though, Chuck, I type in fishing jig, and the first thing that comes up in the little box is just fishing lure. So a jig, I think, is just another name for a fishing lure.
What does jig fishing mean? People are just like, are you guys kidding me with this? Jigging is the practice of fishing with a jig, a type of fishing lure. A jig consists of a lead sinker with a hook molded into it and usually covered by a soft body. Okay, I know what this is. It's like a little fake fish that has a hook in it.
Right.
It's like, hey, is that a minnow? Oh, God, it's not a minnow.
I'm dead. You could also be a movie about Irish dancing.
Sure. Dance a jig. Starring who else?
Michael Flatley, of course.
It's got to be.
He is the lord of the dance, after all, Chuck. There is none greater.
Noah King says, Godzilla versus Bong. That's pretty good.
Love that. Can you imagine stoned Godzilla just bashing his way and like eating like, you know, the donut factory? And stuff? It would be so fun.
Did you watch that?
I quite enjoyed it. Yes.
So here's what I did, Noel. And I've done this before, and someone got really mad at me for doing this, but I fast-forwarded through most of the people stuff because there was so goddamn much of it, and it wasn't very good.
Way less than there was in the King of the Monsters. They clearly pared it back by quite a lot. I'm with you. That's the least interesting part, but the monster fights are dope.
Those were pretty fun. And that, especially that last one was very old school, sort of, you know, to put it in a downtown setting and that kind of day glow fluorescent setting. I thought it looked kind of neat.
Well, it's that dude, Adam Wingard, who does really cool films. He did Your Next and The Guest, and he's really into that like neon kind of 80s pastiche. I really like him as a filmmaker. It's nice to see that he's of course doing the thing. He's going the way of so many interesting indie filmmakers and making big kind of bland tentpole movies now that really have none of his signature, style. But still, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was fun, and I found myself engaged the whole way through. And what do you expect? It is what it is. It was fun.
You're Next. I haven't heard of that. Is that really good?
You're Next is great. It's like a horror kind of like home invasion movie, but it's a final. It's funny though. It's a final girl kind of movie where there's like this badass, you know, woman who kind of takes control over the invaders and puts everyone down. It's not a spoiler. It's just like the way it goes. Really, I think it's fun, but I like Adam Wingard.
I'll check it out. I didn't know of this filmmaker. Let me see here. Oh boy, somebody gets getting a little snarky here. It said, please reread instructions.
It happens.
Alfonso Garibay says, spider moan.
See, now they're all just becoming pornos.
Christopher Steiner says, batteries now included. It's a whole
How convenient. How convenient. We can play right from the word go.
Oh, this is good. Alfonso Garibay, once again, Irony Man instead of Iron Man.
That's funny.
That's good.
That's very good.
Let me see.
That's his only power.
Jonathan Cooley, one of our old friends. This is good. The Nice Storm.
What a pleasant film.
Yeah, I love that film.
Nothing bad happens to anybody.
No, you just sit on the front porch with your mint julep and watch that summer rain flow in.
And just chat.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Cooley comes back again with the double. the human centipede with an S on the front. Like a smell, the centipede. Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's not a thing, but it's funny.
It is funny.
Michael Anton Hawansky says, fart in a way. Ian Lyon says, the Nope book. It's not bad, huh?
No, it's good. That's sort of like the probably the burn book from Mean Girls. The notebook is like a list of people that suck or something.
Yeah. Scott Lawton has a nice twist. Spreader, a story about a COVID super spreader. I'm surprised no one's done a sort of a banked on that COVID fear and done something like that.
I'm sure it'll happen. It's probably one of those, like, it took a while for them to make the first 9/11 movie. You'll recall.
Not that long. Not Passenger 57. What was it? Flight
United 93. I think it was called.
Did you see that, man?
I didn't want to see those. I don't know why. It just doesn't appeal to me. Like, it just seems depressing. And
that movie was pretty hardcore.
Yeah. I'm sure it's good. Isn't that Greengrass? Paul Greengrass did that?
I think so. It was good. The ending was really, really tough, obviously. I think that's the only 9/11 movie I saw, though. I didn't see.
There were only a couple, man. And there was one that was literally called 9/11 or like Twin Towers or something like that.
Yeah, I stayed away from those. Liz Ann is back. Forrest Grump, she's on fire. She has another one. Lars and the Renal Girl.
That's like, what about some sort of like hospice nurse or something? Or what is this about?
I guess. What is renal? Isn't that
renal is like endocrine systems. Yeah, exactly.
Kidney function. Lars and the Renal Girl. Interesting. James Nordstrom says, Star Trek. Not bad. James Nordstrom also says, Lord of the Wings.
I love that because I instantly say that like as a small child with a wisp. You know, are you sweepy? You want to watch Lord of the Wings?
Liz Ann is on fire, Noel. She's back again. Diet hard.
Oh, I'm in desperate need of that film. Dude, Chuck, there is a movie from 2017 that's just called 9/11 starring Charlie Sheen.
Really?
Yeah. And Whoopi Goldberg and Gina Gershon. I do not think it is meant to be very good.
Well, they probably meant it to be good. Oh, boy. I think when Charlie Sheen is top-lining your movie these days, that sends a strong message to an audience, doesn't it?
It sure does.
So I got this weird, Josh and I did an episode on truffles recently, and someone wrote in and said, hey, I just wrote a movie starring and directed a movie that starred Nicolas Cage about a truffle hunter whose pig goes missing.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, is this real? And I looked him up. His name's Michael Saransky.
This is a real person. This is a film based on
Michael Sarnowski.
Okay.
And yes, he wrote and directed a Nicolas Cage movie that I don't know if it's out yet or if he shot it last year, but I wrote him back. He wrote an email. It's like, well, hey, dude, you should come on Movie Crush.
Nicolas Cage.
I want to know your story.
He will do whatever.
Well, that's one of the questions for sure would be like, what's the process of getting Nicolas Cage in your movie?
I got to know. A friend of mine worked on a movie he shot here in Atlanta that was called Revenge, A Love Story. It was basically straight to video. It didn't do anything. And now he's got this one out where he's like a janitor in a haunted Chuck E. Cheese kind of situation where he's like slashing all these like puppet monsters that are coming for him.
I saw a preview for that. I think Nicolas Cage just wants money.
Yeah.
And just a steady income of lots of money.
But then he pops in, occasionally to some gems and some absolute genius. Like, I think he's one of those guys where when used properly, I think he's just one of the best.
Well, I mean, he made a decision. He used to do the sort of one for me, one for them thing. Mm-hmm. Like, do a really, like a Leaving Las Vegas, but then also some, like a Con Air. But then he got to a point in his career where he was just like, I'll do whatever comes my way, straight mm-hmm. to video. I don't care. He probably has a set fee that's like, here's what it costs to get me in your movie. Mm-hmm. And here is what I need to be in the movie. Like, I need a trailer of this size, and I can't be on set for more than 8 hours a day. Like, I bet he has very strict parameters around, and they're probably just like, here's the deal, and you can have me if you meet these requirements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then my friend gave me some scoop on what he was like. She said he was incredibly professional when it comes to, like, shooting mm-hmm. and being ready to go and, you know, no bullshit, just, like, on at all times. But he also burns through assistants, you know, like gangbusters because probably, he's apparently very, very particular.
I bet he's very particular. Let me see here. Fright Club. That's from Sar Chili. That's good. That sounds like it could have been a TV show. Let's do a couple of more of these. Oh, mm-hmm. Christopher Paxton. Instead of Jaws, he has Jawas. Why wasn't there a Jawas movie?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's like a whole, at least a couple of Ewoks movies. And the Ewoks don't really talk. Well, there was an Ewok movie. There was the Ewok Battle for Endor, I believe. That, you know, what's his name? Warwick Davis was in it, playing Widget, the Ewok. And there's another one. There's one called Caravan of Courage, an Ewok adventure, which maybe was animated, but Ewok's The Battle for Endor was a full-length feature.
I've heard of it, but I didn't go down those side roads in that universe, Noel.
I remember just seeing it on the movie shelf at the Blockbuster when I was a kid and watching it that way.
All right, let me see if I can find a couple more good ones here. Martin Kidd says The Deported instead of The Departed.
Mm-hmm.
Dermot mm-hmm. Kniff says Blame Runner.
That's funny.
What is that?
I don't know why. It's a movie about a bunch of petty people pointing fingers at each other.
That's right.
In the future.
All right, let's just finish it out with this one more. Oh, actually, two more. These are both pretty good. Kelly Burns Brockington, one of our old friends, says Punt for Red October. Not bad. And we'll finish it out with this banger from Scott W. Register. Welcome to the show.
That sounds like a Toast of London name, by the way.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Pilates of the Caribbean.
That's great.
That was the best one.
That's fantastic. You know, a lot of that's happening behind the scenes.
It's fantastic. Love it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Good job, everyone. Kudos. All right, Noel, let's stream this out. Let's talk Mortal Kombat.
Let's do it.
I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I liked it too. I saw your post and I couldn't agree with you more. It feels like one of those 80s movies that is fun to watch. It's light on story because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
The dialogue is garbage because who gives a shit? And the action is fun. And the characters are fun. And it's like, I mean, it definitely fizzles at some point where you're just like, it just kind of ends, you know?
Yeah.
But I really liked it. I was on board. I thought, and again, I've got nostalgia for that franchise so hard.
Totally.
I don't think you probably do quite as much. But like, I remember seeing that arcade machine and seeing finish him and, you know, the spine hanging down. There was nothing else like that. And it was just very arresting. So I definitely have followed those games, you know, since my childhood. And it was fun to see the thing people actually came to that for is the gore, because the ones from the 90s were PG-13. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I played, Noel, here's my story with the game. I didn't play the arcade game, but when I was in college, my probably fourth year in college, one of my friends got the best gaming, maybe it was the N64, was the good gaming system. And the two games that we played more than any other were Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter 2. And we played Mortal Kombat till our eyes bled. And so I have a lot of love for that game and the characters. The gore you were talking about, just seeing even that beginning scene whenever the dude would pull out the blade, and that just the way the blood spurted out each time looked just like the game. I thought they honored the game. It looked pretty good, I thought, for a movie that probably didn't have the biggest budget in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, I liked the fact that it had, you know, sort of B-level actors. That movie would not have been as fun to me if it would have been sort of all these recognizable names and faces.
Oh, 1,000,000%. And also the fact that the Asian characters actually spoke. Like, there was like Chinese characters or Japanese characters, and they spoke their language and there were subtitles. I got to say, Chuck, it's funny. I remember all of the iterations of this game because I kind of grew up with it. But the Nintendo version was bloodless.
Was it?
It was.
Well, then that was not what we played.
It was probably Sega Genesis, maybe. Sega Genesis had it, and it was definitely, there's blood in that one. But then when it was out on Nintendo, it was they took all the blood out because Nintendo is a bloodless system.
Really? Are they still like that?
They definitely shy away from super bloody content. I don't know. But there was a time where, there's so many indie games now, it's hard to say. But there was a time where like any game that would come out on Nintendo had to have a certain, PG-13 quality.
Did you have a go-to character that you played?
I always liked Scorpion because he was such a cheap shot. He could do that get over here move.
Yeah.
just do it repeatedly and uppercut. Get over here, uppercut. Get over here, uppercut. It was such a cheap
shot.
That
was great in the movie. Yeah. Use the uppercut, honey. Use the uppercut.
That's right. Oh, there was even a joke in the movie about the leg sweep, which was the cheapest move you could do, just sweeping him over and over again.
That was a total. So he looked exactly like the game the way he did it. It was pretty funny.
That was a total reference to that cheap shot arcade move where if you were playing somebody who would just constantly sweep the leg,
I did eye roll.
I
played Liu Kang a lot for that reason. Because I was okay, but I wasn't like, I felt like my friends were like masters at the game and I was always just trying to hang in there sweeping legs when I could.
Totally. Sweeping legs, get over here and uppercut. Rinse and repeat.
He also had that great, Liu Kang had that great flying kick that he would do.
Yeah.
And they sort of aped that in the movie a little bit in that one shot.
There's one. I will say it's funny, like in the game, the sound effects that character makes don't hold up so well to scrutiny. They're very what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of stereotypical, ninja kind of sounds,
Right.
They didn't go there, which I appreciated.
Yeah, it was, and this was in college when I played Mortal Kombat, so I'm sure I missed a lot of references and Easter eggs that like super fans of the game picked up on, because I know there are quite a few of them. But yeah, I liked it. It was everything I wanted. Tons of fighting. I mean, that's what you want out of that game. It's like they did not skimp on the fight scenes. Just
nope.
Put it in my neck.
Put it right in there.
Another thing I'm watching, Noel, now that you, I'm sure, don't care anything about, and a lot of people don't care anything about, but I'm watching this documentary called The Last Dance, documentary series on, think Netflix, about the final season of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls run. And
I've heard it's incredible.
It's great. It's really, really good. And that was when I was really, really big into basketball in the NBA, sort of in the salad days. And so it's bringing back all these nostalgic feelings. And the deal was they had a documentary crew shoot that season, and they never did anything with it. So they've now been able to put this stuff together in a very, very compelling way. Just great. Very well done. So if you're a fan of that stuff and you haven't checked it out yet, highly recommend The Last Dance.
Awesome.
What about you?
Yeah, I've been hearing nothing but amazing things about that for quite a while now. And I know it's not my thing on the surface, but I'm very intrigued because it sounds like it's got a lot of drama and just like really cool nostalgia stuff. I watched Mortal Kombat. What else did I watch recently that was really good? Almost done with my 6 Feet Under stream, and I saw the news.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. And I am about midway through the final season, so I'm kind of right behind you.
About Alan Ball coming on the show.
Yeah,
so it's incredible.
It's pretty amazing. Like, I just kept waiting for it to fall apart. And I pitched the date, and they're like, he's great for that date. And I pitched the time, and he's like, he's great for that time.
I cannot believe it. American Beauty was a big movie for me. I'm sure that one's hard to watch now with
Spacey.
But I think he took everything that was great about American Beauty and like stretched it into a series that just has so much heart, and it's so cathartic and wonderful, everything about it. I just it's in awe of that series. And I'm watching it with my girlfriend at the same time and seeing her experience it for the first time as I'm experiencing it kind of like for the third time. It's really, really fun. But yeah, that and I just restarted Boardwalk Empire. I realized that I never finished it.
I never saw that.
And it's kick ass, man.
Yeah, it's, I heard it's really great.
It's quite good. But that's all that comes to mind. I've been kind of neck deep in trying to finish those rewatches.
Yeah, there, I mean, we've been letting the movies pile up a little bit because we're kind of not slogging, thoroughly enjoying 6 Feet Under. But I do want to see Nomadland.
Me too.
A lot.
The Father. God, I want to see The Father.
The Father I want to see. I mean, I want to see all the one. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom I still haven't seen. Like, I was just really behind on the movies. We didn't do any Oscar content. I was not into it this year. I didn't even watch the Oscars for the first time since I was probably like 10.
Yeah, I do have to say our fellow podcast network buddy Questlove did the music for the Oscars this year, and he was all up in that, that ceremony. He was spinning, and he wore these like golden Crocs, which I thought was an awesome flex.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get him on the show through our network, and they're just like, no. I'm like, man, what good is it being on the same network?
Who said no?
We'll talk offline.
Yeah.
I think it seems like no one wants to ask. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, I know the people. I mean, I can ask.
See, Noel, that's who I should have talked to from the get-go.
Yeah.
Should have talked to you. Yeah. You get things done, Noel, after 9, but you get things done.
I do the best I can. By the way, lots of good feedback on the Kesha episode.
Oh, I meant to bring that up and thank you again.
Yeah, she's so cool, man. She's just a genuinely cool person. And
I listened to most of it, actually. It was great. She seems awesome, and you do such a great job. I love these little Noel takeovers from time to time. It's mm-hmm. it's great.
Yeah, I'm here for it, Chuck. I'm here for it.
Yeah, and you seem like you had a great rapport with her.
She's been on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know Before talking about psychedelics. So she's a lovely person.
That's great. You're probably internet pals now, right?
It's more or less.
Sort of. You know, she's a big shot.
She's a cool person. She's definitely a big shot, though. She's a genuine pop star.
Yeah, genuine pop star. Did it remind you of 6 Feet Under when Keith worked for...
What was her name?
What's her, I can't remember her name. No.
Estelle. No, it was...
Estelle? Or are you thinking of...
No, Adele? No, it was something like that. It was like... it was a name kind of... It was like a single, like, you know, Madonna-esque type name. And it was somewhere along those lines. But yeah. I can't quite remember. And crazy enough, the actor that plays her in 6 Feet Under was Nona Necklenburg on The Adventures of Pete and Pete, who was Iggy Pop's character's daughter on The Adventures of Pete and
her
Pete.
Her name was,
and
she was Celeste.
Celeste. See, what did I say? Estelle. That was, there was an ST sound in
and
there.
And he slept with her. That scene is so great when he tells David that he slept with Celeste. And David's like, you did what? He's like, yeah, I slept with Celeste. Accidentally. And he said, what did you, what did he say?
Fall,
what
did you fall in your, fall into her vagina or yeah. something like that? And then she totally shit cans him. You know, it's not a good look, so bro. Hard. Sleeping with your boss.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Love David and Keith. The best. All right, Noel, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome.
And being so generous with your time.
Oh, what are you talking about, Chuck? I mean, after 9, I'm all yours.
All right. See you, everybody.
Yep.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.